Part of the, I mean, it's important, of course, to understand the essence of learning of Talmud Torah is to understand the ideas of Terafos. In terms of the ideas, perfect the person. But Chazal say also, Dama Shatashra Lapikaris. Which is a strange kind of a dictum. I mean, you have to know Torah. What do you mean you have to know to answer an apikaris? I mean, it's a funny kind of a statement. You have to learn. What do you mean you have to know how to answer an apikaris? Yeah. You know, so of course, freedom say it means, you know how to answer. I'm telling you, Russia, you're doing both. But they're right. But the plain shot, in the Chazal is not, that's not what they mean. And really learning Torah in a way that you know how to counter the argument of the apocryphal. So, what kind of a mitzvah is that? I mean, it's a funny kind of a thing. I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know if I can answer it in full, but I could give a little further definition of what exactly it means. What it means, I mean, you know, with us, the most important thing is to define something. So, what it means is like this. It means that Limud HaTorah basically perfects a person, because it perfects a person in two ways, actually. One way is based on a Rashi over here. It's an interesting Rashi. Okay, so Rashi in Dvarim Yud Beis Chofches. Shmor v'shamata. Eish kol advarim ela. I mean, shmor v'shamata, it's a funny kind of a thing. First, it should be reversed. Shma v'shamata. First, you have to hear, understand, and then there's... So, shmor v'shamata. Shmor does not mean to keep the mitzvahs, to enact the mitzvahs. Then it would have to be Shema or Shmor. First you have to hear the mitzvah, then you enact it. So Rashi says Shmor is a separate tzivoy, it's a separate directive. What is a separate mitzvah? He says, Zu Mishnah, Rashi says. Shmor, Zu Mishnah. Sha'ata tzorach l'shomro bevitnacha. You have to watch it and keep guard it in your stomach. Shelo tishkach. Shouldn't forget it. Kinyan shenemar kinoim kisishrim vitnacha. Ve'im shaniso efshesh tishma tekayin. Alright? So in other words, that's why it's reversed. Shemor, if you're shomrim bevitnacha, then it's possible that you will listen to fulfill the mitzvah. But if there's no shmira, so hokol she'ena b'chol mishnah ena b'chol ma'isa. That person doesn't learn is not b'chol ma'isa. That's what the Rashi is. Amazing, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Shmor v'shamata means if you're not b'chol limud, you're not b'chol mishnah, you're not b'chol ma'isa. There's no such thing as an observant Jew that is not involved in Talmud Torah. Cannot be an observant Jew. It's impossible. Shmor v'shamata. That's basically what it is. No such thing. A person will say, look, I'll be Shema Torah mitzvahs, keep all the mitzvahs, the performances, but learning is not for me. That's it's an impossibility. Going to the Yadis, it's an impossibility. Shmor v'shamata. Only a person that is Mekayim the mitzvah of Limud, Mishnah, can be Mekayim the mitzvahs. Okay. Physically, you could do it, but that's not really. In other words, Kiyam HaMitzvahs, according to Yadav, doesn't mean say, okay, so why can't I do it? You see, Jews will do it all the time. Now, what's the answer? The answer is because the idea of Kiyam HaMitzvahs in Yahadis is a different kind of idea. It doesn't just mean do performances. Kiyam HaMitzvahs means that the mitzvahs are really tied to the personality in some way. The mitzvahs have to be tied to the personality. Otherwise, it's not really. Practically, he's not Chayav Malkus, I mean, but in terms of his perfection, the Asiyas HaMitzvahs accomplish nothing. Unless they're really tied to the personality. So how are they tied to the personality? Zu Mishnah. Without Mishnah, the Asiyas HaMitzvahs just perfunctory actions which have no value, have no real value. In terms of perfection of the Gavra. Yeah, you can't give him Malkus, he's doing everything, but basically all he's doing is really worthless. I mean, it's a... It has auxiliary value, you could say. I mean, in terms of the call, I'm not putting down anyone that does anything, of course, is better than nothing. But in terms of the perfection of the gavra, it's really not the Torah's, the person is not in line with the intent of the Torah when it established the system of asiyas hamitzvahs. Okay? Alright, but what does Rashi mean, shomim bevitnacha? So somebody asked me this, with Yeshua, right? What is shomim bevitnacha? It sounds like a funny expression, because in yeshiva, whenever someone says a bad svara, they say that's a baich svara. Baich svara means, that's a svara that comes from your stomach. that's a degrading expression, which is out of use, I notice. It's my generation. But that's what they, right? It's a baich svara. I mean, you say, why should Rashi, what does Rashi mean, Shomim Bevitnacha? I mean, what kind of a marshal is it? What does it mean, Shomim Bevitnacha? Shomim Bemoichacha, Belibcha, Chakukim Aliyah Luach, Libecha, Belev. What is Shomim Bevitnacha? Funny kind of expression. Somebody asked me, sure, was it? I said, well, when I went through the subject, it struck me as funny, but, you know, you have to decide all the time between a covering material and analysis, and, you know, it slipped through. But then somebody brings it to your attention. That's why chaverim is so important. I mean, chaverim are really very important, because somebody brings it to your attention, so it causes you to think about it. So I was giving it some thought, and it what came to my mind was the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim says that there are two kinds of knowledge. There's a kind of knowledge which a person does not need memory for, and there's a kind of knowledge that a person needs memory for. Two types of knowledge, Ram says. Okay? What are the two types of knowledge? What he means is like this. That knowledge which involves the perfection of the gavra, that becomes a part of the soul right away. It's not memory anymore. It's a part of the soul. A part of the person's soul. So if a person, for instance, I mean like the... They asked the shalat to the Rashbah. They said, people don't have a proper idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so how could they daven? Because Dalif ne miyat ha'omet. So the Rashbah said in the tshuva, he says, if that's the case, you're going to have two people in the door davening. So it's an impossibility, okay? So there's a certain kind of perfection. Like a person, for instance, knows Avodah Zarah is false. He knows it's sheker, it's false. He understands it. He doesn't have to remember this. It's a part of his personality. That's a part of his neshama. So there's another kind of limud, however, that requires memory. For instance, you have to know, you know, I'm a sechta, somebody asks you a shayla. I mean, it's a question on kachem. I mean, you can't be a part of it. You have to think just a second. There's a lot of the mission over here. The gemara like this. You have to pass in a shayla. So that's a kind of knowledge that requires memory. So that's Rosh Hashanah Mishnah. Mishnah means the knowledge that requires memory. Okay? As Chazal say, that Yehuda Nas used to walk, used to chaz his Mishnayos all the time, and he walked by this baker, and he said this Mishnah. He forgot it one day, the baker reminded him, because he heard every day that Mishnah he walked by. That's Zum Mishnah. Mishnah means you have to, it requires memory. What kind of knowledge does not require memory? I mean, if we define the category of knowledge that does not require memory, what would you say? What is it? How would you define it? What is the category? You know what I mean? Okay, we mentioned the person is Mufka from Avodah Zarah, but what is the category that does not require any memory traces? You don't need any memory. What is it? Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem doesn't require memory. Because Yedias Hashem means that the deeper a person becomes, the bigger a lamdan he becomes, the deeper he understands Ashkafas Ayadus, the more he understands the philosophy of Torah, then his Yediyas Hashem is changed, a new, deeper Yediyas Hashem, and that doesn't require any memory. That's Dalaf Nehemi Atome, like the Rashbam mentioned. So the Yechidei Ador that really have a true right to be mispoiled because they have the property of Yedias Hashem. But of course, the Rashba says you can't say that. He says, you know, says otherwise nobody's going to daven. He says davening really is for the tzibor. So you can't, even though philosophically dalif ne miyat ha'omed, and it's true, But Yahadis has a situation, halacha works in a situation, sometimes they embrace. I mean, the question is in which way is the person going to be worse off? Not davening at all, but davening with the idea of Hashem is not on the proper level. The Rashba says, of course, I mean, you have to say that the best thing is, the better of the two is to daven, even if the person doesn't have proper idea. But the area of the idea of Hashem, that's the area which doesn't require any memory. So what Rashi means is, Shomrein bevitnecha. So Rashi means that perfection takes place, Shmor v'shamata, perfection in Yahadis takes place through two ways. One way basically Torah, Torah Shebichsav is essentially the Hashem. That's what it is. It's the science and the knowledge of Yedias Hashem. That's what it is. The halachic system that emerges from the Torah Shebichsav is a whole system that's programmed into Torah Shebichsav, but the overt Torah Shebichsav is really Yedias Hashem. Bonds and Chazal, I mean, that's what Torah Shebichsav is. So, but Mishnah is different. Zum Mishnah, because Mishnah really is Torah Shebichsav. And there, you require memory. So Yahadus maintains that this is another type of perfection. Two different ways that the Yahadus maintains that a person is perfected. One is through Yedias Hashem. The second is through knowledge of the system, having mastery over the system, Zum Mishnah, and knowing it, Yedia Shomrein Bevitnecha. Chazal used to make mnemonics they use in order to remember the idea. I mean, Abaya felt bad because he heard something later in life, said, or heard it earlier, he says, I would have remembered it, but because of the fact that Gis the Yankee said, learned something younger. So there was a tremendous, and it wasn't just because of memory, practicality. There's two ways to look at memory. One way is practicality. You like Rashi says in Sanhedrin. He says, you don't have any ideas. He says, Mehechon Yetzei Asod. The whole thing in the Yahadis is, of course, Svara. The Sod, the clear idea that the universal is what we look for when we learn the Sugya. We look for the one idea around which the whole Sugya revolves. I mean, that was a Chaim especially emphasized that Shita. He wasn't too concerned with the details. Details are important. Of course, the details don't fit in. It could be the whole Svara's another. But the main thing is to find the svara around which the whole sugya revolves, and then all the details fit in. So on the one hand, like Rashi says in Sanhedrin, you have to have the yediyah of the Mishnah. He says you have to know why, because mehechan yitzasod. How you go to the practicality today? Thank God. I mean that's something which. Which even though a person is not a bucky, but because of all the secondary sources and the cross references, it's easy most of the time in the sugya to find all the important facts, which is a wonderful thing. You do it now even more than people have memories, because they're systems of the computer system. So that's a very good thing. But there's more to it than that. See, shomrein bevitnecha. That's right. See, shomrein be. That's what then you say shomrein bemochacha. Okay. Shomrein bevitnecha means that, you see, the beten is the place where the food is held in storage. And from there, it nurtures the entire body. Which means to say that Yahadus maintains that this is perfection. The person must have a desire to retain the Yediyah Satara. Desire. Because every Yediyah is important. In terms of the corpus, the body of knowledge that he has within him, which he draws from, in order to decide halachas, decide shailas. I mean, it's a source of perfection. It's not just a matter of practicality, like the Rashi and Sanhedrin. Of course, that's true too. But it's more. It's more means a person. It means a person that really has avas haTorah. Every idea he has a love for. A love and ava, every idea, an idea, a fact, a concept. Just a plain, even a plain idea, a plain fact. That's why Chazal say, look, lama nikra shmom sofrim. Why do they call them sofrim? Because they counted every letter in the Torah. What does it mean? It means that there was an ava, a love for every single aspect of the Torah, every nuance, the slightest, The slightest factor of terror is important. So that's Shomrim Bevitah. Shomrim Bevitah. So there's two methods of perfection in Yahadus. One is through philosophical perfection, that's Yedias Hashem, which doesn't require memory. The second one is through Mishnah. Yedias HaTorah, halachic Yedias. Yedias of the halachic system and the knowledge of the facts in the halacha, and a certain core of knowledge which a person retains and draws from in all the events of his life. That's Shomrim Bevitah. That's what Rashi means. So yeah, that's so that way we understand that a person's perfected. He's involved in halacha all the time, and he always everything he does is based on the perfect system in his meisim and in his Yedias Hashem. Is the whole personality is involved. So yeah, it's the two systems of Yahadis of perfection. That's why when they ask you about Anasi, they ask Chazal, how many Torahs do you have? We have two. We have two. Torah Shabbosav, Torah Shabbosav. What do you mean two? It always bothers me. I mean two. We maintain that you can't read Torah Shabbosav or Torah Shabbosav. It's nonsensical to try. And that's what every all the upper Kursim and the Umos Olam and the that's what they try to do. They think that they can do such thing. You can't do such thing. So why do you take two Torahs on the contrary? Say we have one Torah. It's the Chsav and then there's a Pirush. That's one, that's not two. The answer is this is why it's two. Because the Torah Shebechsav is really the Torah of perfection in terms of Yis Hashem. See? The Torah Shebalpeh, which means Zum Mishnah, is a different system of perfection. Both are necessary according to the artist. Can't reach perfection without both of them. Two different attacks the human personality on two different levels. Okay? A person will say, look, I'll just study Chumash and Rambans. I'm not gonna involve myself in a Taisus and a Rambam and a Sugya. He's not gonna reach perfection. And conversely, a person will say, I'll just learn the Sugyas in Shas. I have no interest whatsoever in the philosophy of Yahadus, in Ashkofas of Yahadus, and Chazal to deal with all the Mishle and Kehelis and all the Teresh B'Chsav which deals with the perfection. He can't be perfected either. It's impossible. Okay, that's what Yadus maintains. It's an interesting formula. That part of the second one is self-evident. The first one is not. In other words, to say that I'll involve myself in halacha and not know any concept, I mean, it's understandable. You can't be perfected. That's a person doesn't understand Yisrael Yadus. He doesn't understand. He can be the Rambam. According to the Rambam, he can instantly lose his chelak in Olam Habah. Okay, so you understand that the simple is double pasha, and you don't have to go too far to look into the Torah, see how the Torah goes out of its way to give principles and ideas. The whole Torah, the tirade against Avodah Zarah, and the demonstration of every aspect of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is not just a physical action; it's a whole way of life that permeates the whole personality. I mean, it's clear when anybody studies Torah. So you see, for instance, the Ramban says, because the pasuk says that Kiyachris of Hashem Lekach Zgayim Hashem Tov Hashem L'Rash Tov Mipanecho Hisham Lecho Pentinokek Shachareyem Achareyem Hisham Dom Mipanecho. It's not a pasuk. I mean, Pentinokek Shachareyem Achareyem Hisham Dom Mipanecho Upentidresh Lelehehem Lemo Echa Yavdu Agayim Eres Lelehehem Vesekin Yamani. I mean, what are the kind of telling you now? There's hundreds of Azars already about what Azar. Ramban says it means maybe you'll look into their practices and you'll say what's wrong with what they're doing is because they're serving a false god. But the practice is good. So I'll adopt that practice with that they're using and I'll adapt it to the situation with regard to the Bar Yavon. So that's what Ramban says. No, he says Pentecostal Echo Yavdo Goyim Eile Solehem Vesa King Gamani means that's King Gamani Lord Hashem. He says no. He says that's also Varazah. It means to say that the Torah points out that the practices and the whole frame of reference is an Avodah Zarah mentality. Rashi says that if the person, not too many people do this, but Rashi says that a person should study Avodah Zarah And so he could recognize it, so he could tell his son that what it is, and he could recognize it, so that he could tell his son, no, this is a Maisa Avodah Zarah. This is very interesting, Rashi. You know, the practices is important to know the practice of Avodah Zarah. For instance, recently I read where these people and were trying to save children, babies in Haiti. They found a baby that was wrapped around, left at the doorstep, with a red band tied around the stomach. Okay, so they investigated to find out what is that red band. It's voodoo. It's a part of the voodoo worship. That they believe the red band is something which will protect them from the mother's dead soul entering the body of the child. Okay? That's what Rashi means. It's important to recognize these things. It's important to know the practice of Avodah Zarah and to know this is Avodah Zarah. Perek Yudches Pasuk Tes. Perek Yudches Pasuk Tes. Lo sumad lasos. Aval atalomet lovin alohoros. Kloma lohovin maaseyim. You have to understand their ways and understand why and how they are mekukolim, how they are crazy and how they're distorted. Ulahoros levanecha, and to teach your children, lo sase kach v'kach. Don't do this. Why? Shezel chokarkom. Open Rashi. Shezel chokarkom. So you have to study. You have to study. No chokarkom. The red ribbon that they tie around, that's chokarkom. There's no question about it. That's chokarkom. That's what Rashi is. Mechuyev to study, to know what it is, identify it, recognize it, understand why it is distorted, mekukul, and tell your children, don't do that. That's chokarkom. That's Rashi. Over Rashi. Okay. So getting back to, even if you don't believe in it, you're not allowed to do it, because that's chokarkom. That's the issue. You see, from there, then intrinsically, the bummer is not a problem. But it became involved in their practices, so the Torah wants it so far removed that the Torah said, now it's not, you can't do it. It's chavul of ne'avos, but not now. So, on the contrary, it shows you how far the Torah went out of its way to make sure it was something which intrinsically made sense, but because it became incorporated and involved in their nonsensical behavior, so the Torah the Asher. Okay. That's right. So essentially, that's why it's very clear, to anybody that has any sense that simply comes to shul and listens to the Kriyas Torah, that you can't be perfected unless you understand Hashkafas Yadus. It's impossible. Okay, that makes perfect sense. The other way around, it would seem wouldn't be necessary. Okay? In other words, let's say a person is perfected in terms of the ideas, the philosophical ideas, Yidiyas Hashem, but he doesn't know how to learn a Taisvis, and he doesn't spend time working through a Sugya. So then you'd say, why can't he be perfected? All right, why can't he be perfected? And then, you have, if you say that he can't, you're going to have problems also. Because Avraham Avinu, before Matan Torah, and he's playing Pshuta Shel Mikra, and many, many Rishonim hold that before Matan Torah, Avraham Avinu didn't know Torah. Taisa says that didn't be Neach, and even though Chazal say that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim, even Eruv Tchumen, not everybody takes it literally. Rav Rambam and Rambam is a different interpretation. He doesn't take it as literal sense. Neither does the Rambam. So at any rate, you have problems. You see that without Teresh Bapre, you still could be perfected. There the answer is that it is true. It is possible. But that is only Yechidei Sgula. Rare individuals. They come up once in generations, centuries maybe. But that's a very, very rare human being. But Bederach Klal, in general, it's impossible. Because the mastery of Torah Shebal Peh is necessary because It gives the person a method of thinking, a method of, and the practice of thinking, and the involvement in machshava, and being tied to the truth, and being tied to emes. There's a lot of facets of kiyum mitzvahs that we don't even realize. I mean, it means to say that the person is constantly, their life revolves around reality, a realistic system. They're doing something not because they have a desire, and not because of a certain emotion, but because of a halachic structure, which is a purely intellectual reality. That is what's dictating their life. That is in itself. And I'm not trying to add up all the benefits of halachic system, but that certainly is an outstanding one. And that's why it actually involves the entire personality. So you have those two types of perfection. The other says two types of perfection. But what damasha tashla pikeres? Damasha tashla pikeres means that even though the specific yediyah satora is not one which will involve any perfection on your part, you still must do it for the knowledge itself in order to refute an apostate, not pikeres. Like, it's an interesting thing. What it means is, let's say, for instance, I know a certain shkafa. I know a certain idea about a certain idea, concept, a philosophical concept, and Yediyas Hashem is a broad area. So let's say I know that concept, but there's a pasuk in the Torah that's problematic. That an apikaris would be able to come to me and show me the pasuk and say, just a second, there's a kasha over here. It goes against what you maintain is true, what the others maintain is true. So when I study the pasuk to answer the apikaris, I mean, and to show them that that's not the pshat in the pasuk. I mean, if I didn't do that, would I be lacking in Yediyas Hashem? No. Would I be lacking in Mishnah? No. You see, I mean, the apikaris doesn't usually ask kashas and mishnayos. Okay. Usually he's in the area of the Yediyas Hashem. So that's what he denies. So the question is, do I have to spend time? Am I machleir? Is there any benefit? What benefit is there to me to say, so I don't know how to answer them? So what? I mean, I know what the end is. I know what the truth is. I know the Gimel Karim. I know the areas of perfection. So I don't know the pasuk. Do I have to learn this? So I'm saying, no, learn something else. Don't waste your time because you have the knowledge anyways. Learn something else. Where are you going to gain new knowledge? Apparently, the Chazal say no. As I'll say, that's what it means. Dama shetash la pikeres. It means you have to spend time learning the pasuk, even though that idea you have already, but somebody else is going to criticize you and say that it means something else, so you must refute them from the pasuk itself. You see? It's an interesting thing. And that's a chiva, that's part of the chiva of Talmud Torah. Dama shetash la pikeres. Okay? Yeah. Well, in other words, what Reb Meir is saying is that it's not a chiyuv mitzaratzmo, it's a chiyuv in terms of kiddush and shemayim. Makes sense. That if it's a chiyuv, the chiddush of it is that you have a chiyuv in terms of kiddush and shemayim. That really, if you're asking, what should you do? You want to spend your time? Should you try to pursue this? I mean, you're learning. You always have priorities. You have to have some type of priority. You can't just say, well, learn what? I mean, you have to know certain things come first, certain things come later. So should I spend my time in this pasuk, or should I try to learn in the Ramban, which goes into Hashkafas Yadus? So I say, learn the Ramban, don't spend time in it. So apparently, Dama Shetoshiv Lapikaris makes sense. The machayev is kiddush and shemayim. It means that you must know it. You can't say, look, I don't care what the world says, so I don't answer them, so they think I'm stupid, they think I don't know. So what do I know? I know I'm right. And say, what do I care? You can't do that. Seems so. So I want to take up point. This is a point I think is important. It also is important, but this is important for two reasons. It's important to understand what it is, and also it has a value in terms of damash v'zal curse. And that is that the pasuk says in the beginning of Re'e, it says that when you tax them as mizbechosam, well, sasim kim la Hashem lekechem, kim el amakom pasuk hey yud beis hey kim el amakom asher yivchar Hashem lekechem mikol shiftechem losim as shemoshom. Okay, to the chiv of bringing kabonis to the base of chira. Okay. Vaveisem shom alay seichem zevchechem maaser seichem. Okay. Vachaltem shom lefnei Hashem lekechem smachtem b'chom ishlachechem atem uvatechem shebarach Hashem lekechem. Okay. Then you have a funny pasuk. I mean, a pasuk very hard to understand. Lo sasim kol shanachnu osim po ayom ish kol ayoshem ena. What does that mean? Doesn't seem to have shech then. But they weren't keeping the Torah. Okay, so the Ramban explains this in the framework of Kabbanis. Machlokes Rashi and Ramban, how exactly it is. Ramban is very good at it. But anyways, Kilovasa Ma'adoto, Ala Menucha, Ala Nachla, Shev Hashem Lekecha, Nosei Loch, and Vavatam Siyadim, Shev Moritz, fine. Then take a look again. Pasuk Gidalas. Voy Amaka Mashiach, Hashem Lekecha, Bo Shakin, Shemo Shom, Shom Atavio, Eskal Shenechem, Tzav Eskim, Ola Sechem, Zivchechem, and Nova. Same thing again. Just said before. Smachim Fnei Hashem Lekecha, it's a repetition. Okay. We just said before, "Vachaltem shom l'shom fnei Hashem lekechem, smachtem b'chol mishloach yadchem." Atem v'zerem. It's exactly it's superfluous, right? So Rashi explains. Rashi explains that really this is a reference to two different places. Okay, and it's expressed in the pasuk, "Ki lo vosem ad ota elam nucho v'lanachlo asher Hashem lekechem nosen lach." All right. Wasn't in Elam Nuchal Nachla. There were two places that were designated as a Beis Hamikdash. One was in Shiloh, okay. One was in Shiloh. That was after they went to Gilgal, after Shevet Kibush and Shevet Shulchan. Then they went to Shiloh, and they were there for what was that? I believe 369 years, and we are. So they were there for a few hundred years, and then they were interrupted with a Nov and Givon was interrupted, and then finally. Finally, they came to Yerushalayim. And so Rashi explains that the first one, where it says, Kiyim al makam ashiv chadashem lakechem mikol shiftechem losim ashmeo shom l'shichna sidushu, is referring to Shiloh. That's the first one. Bavohaya makam ashiv chadashem lakechem bavashak nishmeo shom, that's Yerushalayim. And that's the same thing, the pasuk of vosim adot ala minucha, minucha zu Shiloh, ala nachal zu Yerushalayim. Okay? So the Torah is predictive. Funny, usually it's not predictive. Torah is predictive. Okay? It's predicting Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Right? Okay? Ela menucha ve'ela nachala. But once you get to the menucha and the nachala, then basically the plain shot is, losafin chol shenachnos and po'ayam nishkalash ve'ed means to bring kabbanis anyways. There's no whistle yet, and it's a bummer. But, kilavos ma'adot, ela menucha nachala. But once you get to menucha, there's no bummer. Once you get to nachala, Yerushalayim, there's no more bummer. Okay? So, and that's why you have the repetition. And by the way, the semantics of the pasuk are in line with that, with this, because the first one where it says kino amakom hashiyiv chadashem lekechem mikol shiftechem, it says losum es shemar shalom. That's with regard to Shiloh. With regard to Yerushalayim, voyamakom hashiyiv chadashem lekechem bo l'shakim shemar shalom. Okay, l'shakim means permanent shchina. That's Yerushalayim. So that's the chat in the psukim, but there's one thing that's very disturbing about it, is why didn't the pasuk simply say, first of all, what is menemashi yivchad Hashem l'shakim shmar? How am I going to know? Where? Hashem yivchad? How will the bechira take place? Doesn't say, right? I mean, that's missing from the pasuk. So how? I never somebody asked the question, but it seems a double pasuk. So that's one question. The second question is the second question is why? Simply why? Why did the Torah just say very simply, when you come to Shiloh, if the Torah knows Eretz Yisrael, we know exactly where it is, so there's a place Shiloh. So Rahaya Kashetavo El Shiloh, then you can't bring the rest of the pasuk. Why does it have to be so vague about it? Okay? V'hoya k'she tavo'u el yivus, el Yerushalayim, so then you shama on the contrary, it admits you when you come to Yerushalayim, that's the place where you should put the Midrash. It's very simple. It's not even any kind of prediction, basically. It could be understood in terms of a simple tzivui, that when you get to the place, put the Midrash there. There's a mitzvah to conquer land, so why is it any different? Why is the Torah so vague about it? It's an interesting question. Now, the Apokursim, of course, say that this was written later in order to by the two kingdoms, southern one, right? In order to say that they're superior. Right. He said, if that were the case, then they'd say, you mentioned Ephraim. There's a lot to do. There's simple things. If you want to glorify your area, so it's very simple to, you know, write something up, and you say, when you come to the place called Yavus, put the on there. You come to Shiloh, you come to Yavus, put the on there, and that's the place. In. Very simple. What's this vagueness? When you could write it very simply, it's not even predictive. Well, it's predictive. You say, well, people wouldn't believe it. But it's not predictive. It's just geographic. Okay? There's a komokan shata motse tarumos aminin chivasan betzidan. Means Chazal say. Chazal say that whenever you find the question of the person, the answer's right there. Wasn't the answer's right there? Chivasan betzidan. It means, of course, the kind of the apikurus is illogical. So therefore, if you look into the area, you'll see right away that it doesn't fit. Okay? So, but the question for us is, why was the Torah so vague about this? Okay? Yeah. The answer to the first question, Asher Yivcham means truly, are you day nothing. That's correct. And that's why you have, for instance, you have another case, where it says Yivchar was another case, where it says Melech. And that's also, the meaning is Alpi Navi. I'll be Navi. Yeah, requires Navi. That's correct. Okay, where does the Navi say that Shiloh is the place? Which Navi said that Yerushalayim is the place? That's a good question, huh? Okay. Yerushalayim is an open pasuk in Tehillim, where Dovan HaMelech received the Nevuah. Zos Menu Chasi Adayad. That was the Nevuah. Shiloh is a little more difficult to track down. It's a little more difficult to track down Shiloh. But at any rate, there is a pasuk that indicates that there was a time where it was manifest through Nevuah that Shiloh is. I'll tell you basically what it is. Okay. You take a look in the beginning of the parasha. In the beginning of the parasha, it says, "V'loya kiviyach Hashem lekecha l'aretz tov Hashem l'rishto v'nasatis a bracha al agrizin v'sakol al arevo." Okay, so you know how it worked, that half of the Shvatim went up to one, half of the Shvatim went on the other, the Kanam on the bottom, and the Kanam of Vim, and then they gave the Brachas facing one direction, the one Nahar, and the Kolas facing the other. Interesting thing. They see, there's no such thing as superstition, because who would want to stand and get a Kola? Going up to Har Kola, that'd be the worst thing. It would be exactly the opposite of what any primitive mind would accept. Yeah, but in Yehadis, on the contrary, that's a wonderful thing. Why? Because it's part of the Hashkafas Yehadis, which is that in order to understand the good, you must understand evil. It's not a tacit assessment. Not two different worlds. So the primitive mind, the bracha and the kola, two different things. Kola tries to escape from, and bracha always thinks it's a wonderful thing for him. But Yehadis, which is based on chachma, so they're both the same, really. Bracha and kola. Because if you don't understand the kola, you don't understand the bracha. You don't understand the bracha, you don't understand the kola. You can't separate the two. It means, Zalken Yama Moshlem Bo Cheshbon. It means, a Bo Venachshav Cheshbon Shel Olom. Schar Mitzvah Kenegat Seda. Schar Avera Kenegat Seda. You have to be able to weigh Averas, weigh Mitzvah. You can't, it's impossible to know one without the other. If you know good, you know evil. You know evil, you know good. So that's why both are equal. So, but the mitzvah was when they went into Eretz Yisrael to do this, the bracha and the klala, which was essential ideas in Yehadis, essential ideas, okay. And then also it says that you had to write down on the avonim, chasaf kamal avonim. It says later. Now it's just giving you briefly, but later chasaf kamal avonim, you had to write down on the stones. Kola Terakula. What exactly that means is there are questions about it. Does it mean actually Kola Terakula? It means it's the mitzvahs. It's not as the thing Sadi says, it means only the mitzvahs. But whatever. There's a funny Mamma Chazal there. It says B'Shivim Lashon. So if you take a Pshita Kamashmah, Kola Terakula B'Shivim Lashon, I mean, it sounds like it would take a long time. A big rock, a long time. Okay. But okay. But there are different pshatim over there, different pshatim. We don't really know exactly. I mean, those type of shotam are estimations. You really can't know. You can't have any definite knowledge of exactly what took place there. But the ideas are clear. Okay? It's an interesting thing. So what does it mean b'shivim lashon? So what, I mean, the tam of these mitzvahs, you don't have to be a deep philosopher to figure it out. The tam is very simple. When they went to Etzro, bracha al har grizim, akol al har evol, writing down on the avonim, what does it demonstrate? What does it show? It shows one thing. That the land only has one value. It's tied to the mitzvahs. That's it. Without the tie to the mitzvahs, it's nothing. The Torah says it hundreds of times. If you don't keep the mitzvahs, you're chased out of the land. What does it mean? It means the land and the mitzvahs can't be separated. Cannot be separated. There's no such thing as nationalism. No such thing as Zionism. It's an impossibility. It can't exist. Without the mitzvahs, the land and the mitzvahs are tied together, and that's why it was tied together verbally, orally, through kol and bracha as soon as they enter the land, and also writing down on avonim avnei hamakom to demonstrate it's a part of the substance of the land is the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are written into the land. So that's where the Torah made those halachas. That's where they gave the halachas, because that's an essential part of the artist. So you see that. By the way, I'll ask you a question. It says over there you write it in Shivam Lashon. So it means, what does Shivam Lashon mean? It means it's not just for you, but to demonstrate to almost all of them that this is the case. It's an amazing thing. Well, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. What do we worry about almost all of them? But anyway, you have to demonstrate to almost all of them the concept that this place is tied to mitzvahs, and without mitzvahs, the place doesn't exist. It's an amazing thing. Shivam Lashon. So you see, you have to translate the Torah to call it. I mean, Pashtus is the whole Torah. I mean, Shivam Lashon, at least certainly conceptually, it means that the guy has to be able to understand or to read Kol HaTorah Kula, the Shivam Lashon, at least according to some shot. So my question is, so why was it such a terrible thing when they translated the Septuagint, the Tirgum HaShivim? Why was that such a terrible thing? On the contrary, you see, the Torah recommends it. The Torah itself says, Bar Hetev, Bishir and Lashon. Right? Exactly. Look at the rock. That's it. Get out of archaeology, wouldn't have a problem. What's the answer? This is a side question. The answer is simple. The answer is, when a guy comes to learn Torah, then it's wonderful. Bishir and Lashon. But when the guy wants to learn Torah on his terms, in other words, what he is interested in is curious about the book that you have, and he is going to be the judge of whether it's correct or not. He wants to see it, and he insists on seeing it. You see? Then it's of else. That's why they made changes. They made changes because they knew what they were up to, and each one, they knew their minds well, they knew their philosophy, they knew the way they thought, and that's why they were able to avoid it. It would be precisely all of them, each one separately, was able to. They came to the same conclusion because they're all chachamim, and they knew their philosophy, and knew exactly what's going to cause a problem in their way of thinking. Okay, one of them was a feminist thing. Interesting, because one of them was they changed. It says Vatitzchak Sora Bekir Bo Lemor, so they changed it to Vatitzchak Sora Bekrov Osel, which means to say that she left and she told her relatives. Why? Because they said that the people said the Torah is not fair. Because Avram left and God didn't punish him. And Sarah left and she got punished. So he says, it's not fair. So apparently feminism was not just emotion at times. Modern man thinks whatever he's into, he thinks is the latest, newest, nobody has thought it before. But truth of the matter is, it's an old thing. I'm not fair. Same thing. So it's an old mindset. But the emotions are ancient. So at any rate, the Shivam, see, but the problem over there was, that was the problem. The problem was that they set themselves up as judges of the Sefer Torah. Then it's Avelis. But over here, Bar Hetev, the guy comes and he wants to see, he wants to understand, what am I going to do? And on the contrary, he should realize, he should understand that this Knesset Arutz is a different kind of Knesset Arutz. It's not like a regular nationalistic movement. It has to do with mitzvahs, tighter mitzvahs. Bar Hetev. Everyone should know it. Apparently, Yadis holds that if everyone knows it, it would be a better situation, even politically, it would be a better situation. I mean, it's important that that's also part of what Yadis maintains, is that the moment the Jew abandons Torah, he placed himself in jeopardy politically as well. Now, politically, he would be better off if he... what did Yaakov say to Esav? Yaakov said to Esav that in love and gati, the tiger Mr. Shemati. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So therefore, so you see that Knisa La'aretz involved a certain frame of mind, and the Knisa La'aretz, and if, of course, this frame of mind, you understand, the Maisam Mitzvah, Kol Bahar Evel, and Baruch Bahar Grizim, and then the Tziva Avonim, and all this, that's all wonderful, very nice, we understand what it means, it's not an abstract philosophy, every plain Jew can understand this, but it's a certain commitment. It means that the Knesset Laretz involved a certain way of thinking and a certain mentality, and they had to make this commitment. And if they sway from the commitment, then they wouldn't be successful. Okay. Now, what is the greatest success of the Jew? What is it nationally, on a national level? What is the greatest? How is the greatest success of the Jew expressed? What is the greatest? And what is the Klal Yisrael after? And what are they after? When does Klal Yisrael strike the highest point that it's striving for? When? What is it looking for? What's the answer? What is it looking for? They see, what, everybody has an objective in life. Right? Shechina. Right. Shechina. That's what. The success is Ashra Shechina. And failure is when there's no Ashra Shechina. You understand? Hashra Shechina depends upon what? What does Hashra Shechina depend on? It depends on how the people execute their responsibility of what is implied in the brachas and the klalos ha'grizim ha'evo and k'siva l'avonim, right? I mean, in other words, in the bechira of the am, it's all totally in the bechira of the am. It's not something that could be given away by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We can't give it away as a gift. It has to be earned through Bechira. Through Bechira. There's no other way. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu never interferes with the person's Bechira, almost never, under the only certain exceptional cases, but basically the derech ha'olam is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't interfere with human Bechira. It's purely up to the person. It's up to the nation. Okay? And that's why the Torah doesn't say. If the Torah would have said, Kasha Tovo al Shilo Tanichu Shomas Aaron, Kasha Tovo al Yerushalayim Tivnu Libayis. If a Kadosh Baruch would have said that, the implication would have been all you have to do is just go to that place which we can locate geographically, do X Y Z, and then you have it, and that's it. Then you have been the Shechina will fall upon that makom. Not true. That's against the whole Hashkafas HaTorah. That's against the whole concept of Bechira, Schav Onesh, Avera, Mitzvah. It's against everything. So what does the Torah say? That's what the Torah never said. Conquering Eretz Yisrael, that's a mitzvah, Kibush Haaretz. But when Kibush Haaretz is only a means, it's only a first step. What is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is Ashra Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hoya Mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokeichem Mikol Shevtechem L'Asam Hashem Hashem. What does it mean? It means to say that the Bechira, if what Moshe Rabbeinu said was, we'll see, in other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you'll be successful in carrying out your Bechira, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will choose the place. But it's not the place, and it's not any kind of activity that can secure it, but it's the Kiddushas Bechira of Klal Yisrael that can secure it, and that's why now, if you ask, In terms of human knowledge, right now, can we predict that there's going to be such a place? The answer is no, because bechira you can't predict. Bechira, person has bechira chokshis. So the Torah could never say a place, go there and set up the mikdash. The implication would be it's just like kibush haaretz, it's a physical thing, and then the yes kibush haaretz. No, it depends upon the kedusha of the person. And the people, the nation, and that's why right now we don't know. If you execute your responsibility properly, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose the place, then he will be Sharash Chinaso, And then the whole institution of Mikdash and the reality and all halachic realities of Mikdash with Kabbalah and everything will come into existence. That's why the pasuk is vague. The pasuk had to be vague because there's no kind of statement you could make at that time, because it's totally dependent upon the bechira of the yam. The emphasis is not on voya makom mashi yivcha. The emphasis is on voya makom mashi yivcha. Right now, it's not there yet, because you haven't really executed responsibility in terms of shmiras mitzvahs. We can't talk about it now. Only after, if you're successful, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose the place of Ashur Ashkina. That's the reason for it. Yeah. It's an important, it's another question. It's very, a difficult question, by the way. The question is, he said, Moshe ben said, that Hashem will keep Matachos, Laras, Adras, Gorachos, Yerchos, Achazoka. Okay, Ebron of Erasol Tatova, Sheb Ever Yadin. Fine. Okay, so Chazal asked the question, they say, well, what does he have to go there for? Well, he wants to eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. So Chazal saying no, because he wanted to implement the whole system there, and we know if he would have done it, that it never would have been broken down. Okay, so that's a good reason. But that's very nice, but there's one problem. The problem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the land, you see? That's right. Where's that? That's Alei Rosh Pisgah. In the end. I'm sorry, right there. Alei Rosh Pisgah. V'soinecha. Yeah, v'soinecha. Yom of tzafono v'seimono mizrocha reveinecha. Lo sava se yagin azeh. What's the purpose of that? I see it. What's all the next question? Ay, v'chi liros asara tzatzorach. What is it? You have to see the beautiful mountains? What's the purpose of that? So what Jeremy's saying is that seeing the land and seeing the place is a kind of a participation on an experiential level which affects the mind. Okay. the difference between Shiloh and between Yerushalayim, what's the difference really? You see, in Shiloh it wasn't the makom of Shiloh. Shiloh really, the makom was situational. It could have been another place. It didn't have to be Shiloh. Yerushalayim was specifically, that's why Yerushalayim doesn't change. It's two different conditions. Shiloh was a temporary kind of thing, and then Yerushalayim was permanent. Thus, Mechasei Adayah. There's a different concept of Ashur Ashkina. Rashi Ivaschana Larashem Baisi Lemosat Chilosa Shom Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem Lakim Anto Chilosa Lara Savdoko as Godloko as Yodko Achazok Hashem Mikel Bashamayim Vors Yasach Masecha Vekagura Secha. Okay, so he's Maschil Beshvacha Shom Makom, and it's the Halach and Tzila is first of Maschil Beshvacha Shom Makom. So Moshe Baisi is Hashem Mikel Bashamayim Vors as Yasach Masecha Vekagura Secha. Then came the Tfila Ebronov Eras or Tatova Shereva Yadin Oho Atova Zeva Lavana. Okay. So Rashi says, Yad Hashem Lakim Rachim Badin Atachilos Laris Vavdachor. That's right. Pasach is important. Rashi, of course. Pasach liyos omeid umespala. Afish and nigzra zera amala mimchola marati. Shamar tali vata anichali. Zichi tofei si yisibach. El leftoach pasach should be hoyatoli. Lespala lalehem. Kemokina yisisov alasas achshav. Okay, that's a big yisod and fila. That, it's totally in the gavra. Sometimes a person can be too modest and emotionally and miss the whole idea. Over here, it is totally in the person. The person has a right to be mispalled and can change gezeiros. Okay, that's one of the sodas in Philip. That's like a
Even presenting an ultimatum to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we spoke about that. That's Rashi's. Next like this. He says, Rashi says, yeah. The first Rashi, Voschanan. I'm sorry. Ein chanan elo b'chol makom elo loshin matnas chino. Afal pishi yesh lem tzaddikim litlos b'maseim hatovim. Even though they have a right to make a demand from God based upon the maisim tovim, ein mevakshim yesh hamakom elo matnas chino. B'si she'amal lo v'chanos yesh asher ocham. Amal lo b'loshin v'chanan. Okay. All right. So what is Rashi? First of all, I understand the principle. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to go into Eretz Yisrael, so you think he'd use the best means available. So Rashi says it's very nice. Tzaddikim they don't want to tell Meisim, but this is a moment of desperation. I mean, he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. So why isn't the tzaddik use his Meisim Tovim if in fact that will make him successful in entering Eretz Yisrael. All right? I just like to understand what the principle is. Okay? Yeah. There's another kasha. Another kasha is, Rashi says, Tzaddikim are not tole b'maseyim. Okay? Malachim Beis Chol. Bayom mayim cholach hiskiyo lomos vayover olav yishayo v'no matano v'yom olav kol ma'ar Hashem tzav l'veis chol kimei sata v'lo sichya. Vayasev is point of a lakir vayispal al Hashem lemar. On other Hashem, zechor no is asher is alachti lefonecho be'emes uvalev of shoem. Vatov beinecho asisi. Vayev kfiskiyo b'chi gadol. Vayishayo loyotza yira tichono v'dvar Hashem oyo lav lemar. Shuv amato kfiskiyo negid ami. Kom ad Hashem lakei dover avicho. Shemati es filosecho. Raisi es demosecho. Hem nirofilach b'yom ha-shlishi tala b'es Hashem. Osav tal yimecho chamesh esrei shana. ומכף מלך אשר עצוכו ועשו עיר הזאת וגנוסי על עיר הזאת למעני למען דובר עבדי. Okay, that's what it says. Yeah. נחם יורסה said that זכור יש אשר עשיסי לפנכו יורס מספר because of זכוס עצמו. It's an interesting thing. So how could you say that אפי שיש לצדיקים לוטלוס במעשיהם הטובים in the vachem is a makom la matnas chinam. I mean, Chizkiyo was certainly a tzaddik. Chizkiyo was really Mashiach Hashem. Was Mashiach Hashem? All right. The Gemara doesn't take up my problem. The Gemara just says it's the Gemara in Brachas Tachirom and Beis that kol atola b'schus atzmo is tola b'schus acherim. So and kol atola b'schus acherim is tola b'schus atzmo. It's different. It's a different principle. It's a different principle. Okay. But but my question is just simply, how could Rashi say that tzaddikim are always not tolen b'schus atzmon, they're always tolen on the chanun, they're always depend on matnas chinam, okay? They're tolen matnas chinam. How could Rashi say that? It's not true. Chizkiyahu was certainly a tzaddik. How come they're tolen b'schus atzmon? The Gemara is saying a different principle. The Gemara is not asking the question. The Gemara is not criticizing Chizkiyahu. He's just saying that's the way a person told B'schusatzmo is they answer in B'schusachar. You can't, of course, you understand. In Philly, you can't do any gimmicks. I mean, I can't say a person. And besides, what does it mean that he asks Matnas Chinam? I mean, so what? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam knows what the Meisim he did. He has to remind God of the Meisim. I mean, he knows the Meisim anyways. All right? Yeah. But...
yeah.
Shomeini Kel Kichosan on it. Shomeini Kel Kichosan on it. Right. Right. Yeah. But it means it like this. You see, there's a distinction between... Tfilah really is Omid Lefnei Hashem. That's the whole key in Tfilah is Omid Lefnei Hashem. And, is Omid Lefnei Hashem. There are two types of situations. There's a situation where there's an eis tzara and din and mishpat. That's one kind of a situation. And then there's a situation where a person simply is being mevakesh me'eis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants something. It's something that he desires. two different situations. You see, and it's expressed in the cases as well. By Chizkiyo was a gzadin misa. It means to say that what he was going to lose was his ability to live his life and execute his bechira. I mean, it was going to be taken away from him. He didn't have a right to continue to exist. Which means to say that there was a finality there. It meant that everything they did up to that point, that's it. His chalik is finished and determined. He can't do anything more. That's an asar. That's a gzera, which is an asar. An gzera, which means that's a din and mishpat. In mishpat and din, a person has a right to bring up his chosin. And that's really the chiyuv. Because you understand, tfila comes from the word pilel, which means really, it means to judge, to argue. It means a person has a right to present his argument to God, and that itself is a process which a person is mechuyev to do. And it raises him to a higher level, and that process is what he's supposed to do. And because of the process itself, his gzadin is changed. Zadin has changed. It means using his intellect, his intelligence, insofar as his own life, and he's allowed to argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's allowed to. That's part of tefillah. It's part of the reasoning process, and it raises a person to a different level, and he has a right, not just a right to do it, it's an injunction. He's supposed to do it. Okay? Tefillah really means to reason with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. Amazing concept. I mean, that's what Yad set down. Pila means to reason with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Means to judge. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu had a right to do. So a person has a right and is supposed to do that, and that itself raises him to a higher level. In Chizkiyo's case, it was an Eis Tzar. An Eis Tzar, Eis Mishpat. The person is supposed to reason the judgment. He has to reason with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to bring up everything in his favor. It's a different kind of a situation. But Moshe Rabbeinu's life was not shortened. He was just prevented from doing something which he wanted to do. You see, that means he was mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't Eis Mishpat. Exile was a long time ago. That's it. Now he's being mevakesh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's simply omed lefnei Hashem. What it means is that tzaddikim ask for matnas chinam and don't mention their schusim. It means like this. It means that when a person is omed lefnei Hashem for a tzaddik, the main tnium is really in the very amido lefnei Hashem. That's where the essence of the kiyum resides. You understand what I mean? In the concept of amido lefnei Hashem, insofar as a person reflects on his schusim, it reduces the idea of a amida lefnei Hashem. Because really lefnei Hashem, the person vanishes. The self vanishes. In the experience of lefnei Hashem, the self is unimportant. So therefore, to mention your schusim detracts from the whole institution, the whole concept of omed lefnei Hashem. That's what it means. That's what Rashi means. Tzaddikim, even though yesh lehem litlos v'maaseihem, they could bring up their masim, but they forfeit bringing up their masim because that would remove them. That would reduce, I should say, the amido lefnei Hashem. Because lefnei Hashem, when a person is lefnei Hashem, he can't think of his own schusim. Thinking of his own schusim removes him from the whole concept in Yahadus. The whole concept in Yahadus, what is the greatest midah? Is anivus. Why is the greatest midah anivus? Why? Because it means to say that insofar as the person is thinking about himself, he is lacking in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the self becomes very small. So it means tzaddikim, unless it's an Eis Tzar. Eis Tzar is different. Eis Tzar, that comes first. yes, they continue to exist. I mean, if he has to bring up his chosen, because that's a different kind of a tefillah. But in a tefillah where he is asking for something, he wants something, the amida lefnei Hashem takes precedence for the tzaddik over even over the outcome of the of what he's asking for. Even over the outcome of what he's asking for, he prefers not to reduce in any way whatsoever the amida lefnei Hashem. You understand? That's v'eschanan ol Hashem ba'isa hilimoh. That's when a person is a sho'alim, is mispalel b'toras sho'alim mavakesh. B'toras sho'alim mavakesh, more important, he's overwhelmed by the amida lefnei Hashem. But in the case of Chizkiyahu, where it was din and mishpat, that's a different kind of a tefillah. Different kind of tefillah. Then the person has to engage himself in the mishpat itself. And then he can mention his, he can and should mention his chusim. Provided, of course, he's on a level where he can make a proper assessment. I mean, the person has to be, Chizkiyo was able to do it. I mean, an ordinary person can't do it. But if a person can, and he has the knowledge, and he's on the level where his knowledge has validity, he's on that level of perfection, then he should, in the mishpat, he has a right to mention his own personal schusim. There are two different types of tefillahs. Okay? Yeah. In other words, what I'm saying is that tefillah is reasoning with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because it's a logical process, so you have to know the situation determines which process you're going to be involved in. If you didn't mishpat on lefnei Hashem and you're fighting for your life, then it's not a time to be vashanah. I mean, that's not logical. I mean, the tefillah is a rational kind of behavior. So it has to operate in the frame of rationality. If he's about to lose his life and his whole ability to perfect himself, he can't say, now is not the time for Mount Sinai. I mean, this is din and mishpat. That was Chizkiyahu. But Moshe, in his case, it wasn't so. I mean, it was simply something that he wanted, that he was denied. So that's a different kind of tefillah. Then the tzaddik is more involved in the omer lefnei Hashem than in his personal desire. Okay, and that's why his own vakish manasim. The question was the nature of the tefillah itself. I mean, that was the question. And what was the and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the land. Right? So he showed him the land. And he said, "What? So what?" So he saw the land. So and what does he want to say? V'chilecho mipir yitzach. So he could say, so you could say, v'chileros hareho yitzach. The Gemara has a, it's an interesting thing. You have to be careful with Russia. It says, you have to be a tzaddik first before you can be told of Maisim Tovim. Alright? When we say Shem Ben Maisim, it means, of course, we're not tzaddik. But a tzaddik, a true tzaddik, has a right to do that because he has the knowledge and understanding. And Nechemiah and Chizkiyahu, they knew that they exercised the Koch HaBechira in a very perfected way, high way, and according to the way they did it, they deserve certain results. And if you know that, if you have that kind of knowledge, you have to present it to God. That's Olach and Tefillah. Yeah, the Tefillah of Yom HaDin is a Tefillah of Esar, because it's Din U'Mishpat. It's a Tefillah of Esar. That's why in the Tefillah, you mention in the negative, Hashem, no, Bagan, no, Gazan, that's concerned with the self. But that's because it's Esar. Esar, a person has to be Yom HaDin Hashem, it's Din U'Mishpat. The rationality dictates that's what he has to, that's the subject matter he has to take up. He can't say, I'm going to involve myself in Matan Aschino. I mean, it's not the time for Matan Aschino. I mean, there's a logical priority system. Okay, it depends on the situation. Yeah, so because tefillah means, you see, a person attains the good through the rational process. And the rational process is such that since the Borei Olam is the source of everything, then rationally he has to turn to the Borei Olam and reason with the Borei. He has to present the reasoning process to take place before God. That's the rational. That's what has to be done rationally. If he doesn't do that, he's not acting rationally. You understand? I spoke about it more at length in the when I discussed tefillah, but basically the question we left with was what was the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, so what does he have to go into the land for? What does he care? That's a Gemara. The Gemara says, well, the kind of list bars. Okay, it's a good answer, but what about, so why did Kosh Baruch Hu say that I'll show you the land? So what is showing the land going to help him? Okay, Harry Sichel Veinacha V'Shem Alo Zohar. Okay. The key really is in the psukim themselves, because the pasuk says, take a look at his tefillah. What is it? Hashem Elokim, Ata Chiloso Laharos Zavdecha, Es Gud Lecha Ves Yodcha Chazaka. Right? What does it mean? It means Mechemes Sichon Vod. Right? That's an Ata Chiloso Laharos Zavdecha, Es Gud Lecha Ves Yodcha Chazaka. So you began to demonstrate the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So the tefillah, what? I mean, if you just look at the tefillah itself, the tefillah means, so how can you stop now? I mean, Ata Chiloso, you began, so now why should you stop now? Now I began to see God L'chashecha Zohar. I have a right to see the rest. Okay? He's demanding the rest. What it means is like this. You see, originally Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really want to be the Rabbi in Shal Yisrael. He didn't want that role. So God argued with him for seven days, until he convinced him that he has to take that position. Yeah. What it means is, I mean, of course, these are things that we can't understand. I mean, the details of the arguments or whatever. But in a general way, what it means is like this. See, Moshe Rabbeinu basically wanted a chelek b'lekei Yisrael through Yediyas Hashem. Through Yediyas Hashem, in terms of Yediyah per se, just Yediyas Hashem, in terms of Hashgacha Klaliyah, so to speak, means to say the knowledge of God itself. That was his own road to perfection. Simply abstract Yediyas Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu convinced him that the way he has to go is through Yediyas Hashem, through Hashgachas Hashem, and through Kiddush Shema Gadol, through Klal Yisrael. That's a different root of Yediyas Hashem. Okay? So really what it means is like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to reroute his energy and redirect his energies from one aspect of Yediyas Hashem to another aspect of Yediyas Hashem. Yediyas Hashem or Yedei Masov. Okay? It's a different kind of Yediyas Hashem. So, Yediyas Hashem through Kiddush Shema Gadol, a different dimension. The tefillah, what the tefillah is saying basically is like this. Ata achilosa laharos es avdecha es godlecha es yodcha chazaka. Means to say that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, already rerouted his energies and he engaged himself in a different type because HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu argued with him and convinced him to do so. So he had to reroute his energies into a different form of Yediyas Hashem, which is through Gadlo and Yodah Chazaka. So Moshe Rabbeinu said that was the tefillah. Atachilosa laharos avdecha. So you took me on this path, and you began to demonstrate Gadlo Chavos Yodah Chazaka. Now you must continue and complete the demonstration of Yediyas Hashem al Yedei Kiddush Hashem. God l'chaves yodcha chazaka. It's a different kind of Yediyas Hashem. I already have my energy in that area. Now it's not fair that you should ask me to simply leave this area and reroute and just forget about it. Okay. So that was really the tefillah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him in the following way. He said, "I will show you. I'll complete godliness, Yarei Chazaka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I'll complete it, but not in actuality, but only through Marianavor. Only through Marianavor, you see. That was Herisicho Veinecho, Hashemolo Saba. Means to say you'll have the knowledge of it in your mind, but you will not be able, I cannot complete it actually, physically, experientially, you can't complete it. Cannot be completed. That was the answer. Okay. Yeah, by the way, I mean, it also, side point, it does reflect on another concept. You see, what was really the onus of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron, Yana Shalom Mantan Bilag Gishini Le'enei Bnei Yisrael. It means to say, because bringing Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael would be the ultimate Kiddush Neshamayim, of course. That's the ultimate Kiddush, and Al Yedei Moshe would be the ultimate Kiddush Neshamayim. That's what it says. Yan Lohem Mantan Bilag Yishini Le'enei Bnei Yisrael means because Moshe Rabbeinu failed in an aspect of Kiddush Hashem, he could not be the one that al yodo the Kiddush Hashem that is most complete should take place. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that it wasn't just an onus, just unrelated. I mean, it's punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't have it, so that's why he can't bring him in the Klal Yisrael. But there's more to it, because Atach Los Laharasav was God Lachov as Yodcha Chazaka. That's Kiddush Hashem. You understand? So since he was a Gavra that failed in one aspect, he could not be the instrument of the ultimate Kiddush Hashem, which would be to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. He lacked there had to be the perfect figure to do so. And once he failed, he wasn't able to do it. He couldn't be the vehicle anymore, because he failed in so far as the Kiddush Hashem by name and riva. You understand what I mean? That's what it means. Yana shelo haman to be like yisheni lachim lo sovias amazeh, because it means to say that in order to be the individual that would create the greatest Kiddush Shemayim, he had to be someone that did not reflect a failure in the area of Kiddush Shemayim. And that's why he couldn't do it. Okay? There's Yedias Hashem al Yedei Masov, and there's Yedias Hashem al Yedei Hashem per se, you know, al Yedei Yedi itself. Okay? So, it would be an opportunity to have Yedias Hashem through studying Masa Hashem. That he wasn't able to do. The whole parsha of Hashem Hashem Kelracham Lachanun and all that was only this galah to Moshe Rabbeinu because of his position. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have remained by the snare and would never have taken on the position, that kind of idea wouldn't have. It's a different kind of idea. It's a qualitatively differentiated area of Yedias Hashem. But that was opened up to him because of the fact that he did take that position. Originally, he wasn't seeking the Hashem through that on that level, but that because of his position, he had this galus of that kind of a idea. It's a separate kind of idea. Okay, you have to realize that Moshe Rabbeinu made use of every opportunity. I mean, that's really the whole Hashkafas HaTorah. As a person in life, a person confronted with various opportunities, and he has to use chokhmah in order to attain the highest, the greatest good possible. I mean, it requires an active personality. He's not a person that just sits back and waits for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him something. He has to be actively involved. He sees an opportunity, ato hanicholi. He says, ain dover zetol alibi. He had to use his intellect to determine that this is the time to make the move. I mean, it's totally different than any other kind of hashkafa. I mean, it means that the person has to be active, and the person will resort to certain kind of emotional modes of behavior, he's not going to be successful. He's not going to be... Success demands that the person use reason in every step. And when reason dictates that he acts, even with the Rabbeinu Shalom, he has to act, and if he just sits back, he's going to lose out. Vata his Moshe Rabbeinu did not vata on Icholi, he was medayik in vata on Icholi, and he said, now's the time to move. So he has to make a move. Sit back and say that you rely on the Rabbeinu Shalom is not the proper thing. It's not the proper thing to achieve the person's goal. He has to know. Now he has to move. Even insofar as his relationship, his existence vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? I mean, that's the whole comes out. It's a very difficult idea to get across because it goes against the person's certain types of emotions. You know, but that's what it is. I mean, it's in the Torah. The Kesher Shel Tefillin is the connecting link. That which, just like in Tefillin, the ideas in the Shel Rosh, the Kesher ties it to the person. The Kesher Shel Tefillin by HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the ideas, the abstract ideas in the universe, and how these ideas become translated into a physical universe. That's the Kesher. The Kesher is the connection. Okay, that's, you understand what I mean? That's what the Gemara means in Brachos. Alright, but I mean, what it means is what Chanon means, a person is Mispalel. Of course, the self, he wasn't Mispalel about it. It has to be the self. But it means, but when a person is Mispalel, it means there's a demand that he's Tola. Tola B'Schusav means that he's demanding because of B'Schusav. That he didn't do. He's talking about the situation itself. Yeah, of course, the situation itself. He has to Mispalel. Why does he want it? There has to be him. He's involved. But he's not Tola B'Schusav. He's not saying, I demand it because of I deserve it. The why of the tefillah. There's a why. There's the content of the tefillah. There's a why of the tefillah. The why of the tefillah is not self. That's what's going on. But the content of the tefillah, of course, involves itself. If he's thrown into the situation of a Torah, so he must make recourse to his own schus, because logic demands it. But if it doesn't, then he'd rather complete the Amidlus Nashan. Okay? That's why tshuva couldn't work by Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though of course he did tshuva, but it couldn't work because by Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem it doesn't work because that's a phenomenon that you just can't change. There's a problem. No, you just can't change it. The fact is that he's not appropriate as the vehicle. He's lacking as a vehicle to bring about the Kiddush Hashem, and that's it. Okay. Yeah, Paul brought a riot from the Gemara, a very good riot. Kufya Tesman Beitim Sochem. What the Gemara says about who's going to use the coast, so it mentions that each one had a defect, they couldn't do Vach al HaKos, but David HaMelech was able to do it. So, of course, the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu is greater than David HaMelech, but the answer is, as we said, that it has not totally in greatness, it's totally in Kiddush Shem Shomayim, it requires a certain kind of a vehicle. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a defect insofar as insofar as a vehicle is concerned. It's not the measure of the person of who's greater. It means to say that sometimes a person is very great, but because of a certain defect, he cannot function in a certain role. So there it says, David HaMelech will be able to function in the role, and Moshe Rabbeinu will not be able to function in the role. That's precisely right. It's very good.